Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
It's good to see you guys all this morning. It is Christmas season. I think that's the conversation I've had the most this morning about asking people how far along they are in either their shopping or if their tree is up. And it's like a 50-50. Some people are all the way there, some people are in the middle of it, and I find myself this season, it was one of those things where there's some years where I just want to deck the halls, like I want to get everything out that I can, but this year it was kind of like, whatever we need to do, so whatever that, at least I let the kids lead it, whatever they wanted to have out were the things that I put out this year, and so I hope things are going well with you this Christmas. One of the things that we are celebrating is Advent, and we're kicking that off this weekend. It was beautiful to have Anwen read some scripture for us this morning, so you can anticipate that every Sunday, even through our Christmas Eve service. And that we even were picking a topic to even reflect on. And so our topic reflecting on is hope, is that we can see God's hope in lots of places. So thanks for being here with us this morning. I grew up in town here in Cloquet. I actually did a play right on this very stage. I did West Side Story my senior year, so it's kind of fun to come back up here. And I have a lot of memories in this space. Even the smell of this space is familiar to me. And I grew up pretty close to here, just a couple blocks away on Carlton Avenue down the road. So it was pretty easy for me to bike to all the places I needed to get to. And I don't know about you, but when I was finally old enough to drive, even though my parents were like, you're two blocks from a school, you don't need to drive. There's something about that when you get your license, you've got to be able to drive. So I'd like fire up the car, wasn't even warm, and drive to school two blocks, park it, get out. But that was a cool thing to do, right? I mean, you got a car, you got to be able to drive. And so this place has a lot of memories. It's very familiar to me. I've lived in this area my whole life. And so there are things that resonate and are familiar. And for those of you who live here or you've driven in, you've noticed that one of kind of the landmarks in Cloquet is the paper mill. It's called Sappy now, but I think it's had several names. It was Potlatch when I was growing up. And I could see it right outside my bedroom window. I always knew kind of the temperature by the billows of smoke. It was a cold day if there was lots of smoke coming from Sappy, and so we'd plan for that. And when I was a little kid, when I was very small, we would get really excited around the holiday time because we would have friends that would, or our cousins would come and visit us, and my aunt and uncle. And they'd usually come around Thanksgiving, and we'd switch on and off. But the years that they would come to visit us was such an exciting time, especially when you're a little kid, because you know what that's like when your cousins are coming over to play, and you know your parents are going to have fun, they're going to be engaged in talking and conversation, so you could get into all kinds of curious fun if you needed to. But it was like you had these built-in friends. And so my brother and I were really excited because our cousins would be coming into town. And we'd wait, and so they would drive in from St. Cloud, so they would go past one of those famous landmarks of Toby's, and we knew that usually meant they were bringing cookies or they're going to bring cinnamon rolls or something like that. So we're always excited when they were driving in. So we knew we had that to anticipate. But something always happened whenever they would hop out of the car after we'd hug and see each other is one of them would kind of make that face and go, oh, what is that smell? And look around there, and it would travel around the whole car like, oh, yeah, what is that smell? And we'd look at each other like, what smell are they talking about? Well, obviously, they're talking about the paper mill that has this fragrance. And so we've done this game before, and so my dad was brilliant, and he had like a comic way to relieve this. He would just say, oh, yeah, it's just the smell of money. Right? It's business. It's creating money. It's the smell of money. Yeah, okay. But it was kind of the way of lightening the mood. But the thing is, they noticed something. There was something that stopped them that wasn't a part of their normal routine. They smelled something, they noticed, they observed it, and they had to stop. But for me, this was common. It was common to be able to smell that. It was just kind of like the fragrance of my life. So I say that as just a way of saying that oftentimes the stories or the scriptures that we read around Christmas time, we've been listening to them or hearing them most of our life. They are part of our culture, and they're beautiful and powerful, but sometimes they kind of lose their fragrance to us. And so my encouragement to you over the next few weeks as we read passages of Scripture is to take some time to get curious with them. Take some time to breathe them in a different way. Pick up on something that perhaps you haven't read before. I know as even I was preparing this week, the passage that we're going to be reading, it hit me in a different way. And I think that happens as we read the Bible, that there are things that I read as a child that now that I read it as a woman, they sound different. They smell different to me. There's something in there for me. And so my encouragement to you would be to engage with that. Like, your intellect is very important. It's not just about your spirit. That's important too. But I encourage you that it's good to engage with your intellect. Sometimes these things can feel safe and comfortable and warm, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the Christmas story and feeling safe and secure in it. But don't stop there. I would encourage you to let these passages of Scripture, as you read them and as you listen to them, let them engage with your heart in a different way that allows you to be able to open up and grow with Jesus. Part of our job as a good and beautiful community is that we notice when there are things that we might be complacent about and they're blocking the way that we flourish or grow, or it's blocking the way that we grow in relationship with the people around us. And so we really want to engage with God's kingdom everywhere. We want to see his movement everywhere. And so even our theme over this whole week is something we really, or over this whole month, getting ready for Christmas, is seeing God with us. That word Emmanuel that we will sing and talk about is really a good reminder to us that we don't worship a God that's someplace far away. We worship a God that is present with us, that's real, and that he's right here face to face with us. So there's something that happens with us when we start to get curious with our faith. Whether you're new in your journey of following Jesus or you've been following Jesus your entire life, you will find that there are seasons where you hear something and it stops you and you have a question about it and you want to know more. Now, you might be the type of person that right away when you hear a question, you find somebody and you start asking. Or maybe you're somebody, you hear a question and you start to wonder, am I supposed to be able to ask that question? Like, who am I going to ask that to? And especially if it's something that might be something that's difficult, something that might stir up the status quo of the people around you. For me, I have a high value on peace. And so I look into a conversation, I think, how can we find a peaceable solution amongst all parties? So there are oftentimes, even for myself, I might read something out of the Bible or have a discussion and think, how can I make sure that everybody feels safe and good at the end of that discussion? That's not a bad place to be, but sometimes it keeps even myself from pressing into being curious or asking questions of God. And what I found too over time is that the God that we worship isn't somebody who is afraid of our questions. That we really do have a creator that we worship that loves that we engage with him. He loves that we're curious and he wants us to engage as his creation, asking him questions. Because really, in all reality, he already knows. He already knows. We don't serve and worship a God that is surprised by us. So I encourage you, as I read, I've kind of got a long passage of Scripture I'm going to be reading to you. As I read it to you, take some time to reflect on it and see if there's any questions, anything that you're hearing that maybe you haven't heard before. So we're going to be looking at Luke 1. It's 26 through 45. It's a pretty familiar passage. It's going to be up on the screen behind me. If you have a phone and you like to follow along, I'd love to have you do that. And then I also want to tell you this too. We have a bunch of Bibles that are on our back welcome table. If you are somebody who is discovering, you're new to faith, and you want to read more about the Bible, go ahead and grab one of those Bibles, take it home, dig into it, and ask questions. The Bibles are free. You don't have to steal them. We want you to have them. It's important for all of us to be able to read the Word of God and ask questions. Okay? So this is Luke 1, 26 through 45. It's a bit long. So I'd encourage you, if it's helpful for you to follow along and read, you can do that. But maybe if it's helpful, if you want to just sit back, relax, take a deep breath, even close your eyes and listen to this story, you are engaged to do that or invited to do that as well. Here we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. Well, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. And the angel left her. Now at that time, Mary got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So I want to start with the women in this story. Because what we see in here is a story of an angel. Oftentimes the angel gets a lot of props because how often do we interact with an angel? And we'll get to that. But really what I want to talk about is how God is starting this brand new kingdom. Oftentimes when we look at the Bible, what we're looking for and we read is we're looking for our story in the story of God throughout the whole scripture. And what we see happening here is what is starting is that God is saying, I'm starting something new. I'm starting it in the life of Jesus, but I'm starting it in this woman. So we see these two women and they are completely outside of the social hierarchy of the time. We have Elizabeth, who is an older woman, and we have Mary, who is a young teenage girl, and they both find themselves pregnant. And for Mary, mysteriously pregnant, right? As the angel said, she's like, how is this supposed to happen? It's a mystery. So I want to know, why is it that God chose to use these women? And what is God already working to restore in this very moment? Mary is a common figure to us, especially during this time when we're doing a lot of preparation for Christmas and we're setting out things. Maybe you have a few nativity scenes that you're setting out in your house. But often we see her, and how we see Mary matters. How we see her, how we read about her, and respond to her. It really kind of paints a picture of how we look at even the rest of the story of Jesus. And so when I was a young girl, I would often look at that nativity scene and see who is it that looks a little bit like me. And out of that whole scene, the only one was Mary, because you've got Mary, you've got a couple of shepherds, right? You've got the wise men that are all carrying various kinds of gifts. You have Joseph, you have the manger, and then you usually have like a token cow or a goat, or there's some kind of animal that comes along, just kind of fill out that nativity scene. And when you think about that, I'm sure we're probably all getting a similar picture of Mary. She usually has white skin, blonde hair, maybe brown. She's got like a blue sash or maybe a pink sash, and her hands are folded, and maybe she's kneeling. And I did a little research, so I looked at all of my nativities I have at home, and Mary is really doing the same position, and almost everyone is like kneeling with her hands folded. And this isn't bad. We're really trying to symbolize that Mary is in a worshipful position towards Jesus. That's not bad. I'm not trying to make fun of her in that sense. But for those of us who've had a baby, we know that that is probably not the stance that we're taking right after having a baby. It's like, get my sash and just like ready. No, that's not what we see in Mary. Maybe if you grew up practicing the Christian faith, you even prayed to Mary. All right, so we're all kind of putting together this picture of Mary in a different way. I know I did. I would, every Christmas, I'd get a little blanket and I'd put it on my head. And we have a picture somewhere, and I should have asked my mom for it because it would have been great to put up. But anyway, I have this knitted blanket over my head, and I'm doing this pose, and I've got my teddy bear that's wearing a sleeping cap. It's so precious. And then I like coerced my brother because he was younger, so he had to be Joseph. Oh my goodness. You think you can even see it on his face, and he's just like, here we go again, just whatever she says. But yeah, how we see Mary matters, how we portray her in that story. But the things that happen, what those words that we're hearing that God is saying straight from his mouth through the angel to Mary's ears are, you are favored. You are blessed. There's something good and beautiful that I'm doing in you. Now, let's set the scene. So for a young girl that's growing up in Nazareth, she has absolutely no value, okay? She's young. She's probably never been to school. She probably has learned quite a few things and is helpful to her mother in the home. But really, her value probably isn't much more than maybe the goat or the cow that is also a part of her house. Now, this is her normal. This is the life that she's growing up into. And now she's promised to be married. And there's a big deal that's going on here because this exchange is really going to benefit the men. It's not going to benefit her at all. And so the most valuable thing in that exchange is that she's a virgin, that she's pure, that there's that whole package has to come together in that exchange. And so the thing that she's heard from the angel is, that's not the case anymore. I've actually there's a baby inside of you already, and then you can go explain to all the people that God did it. So now, I don't think Mary is jumping up for joy. I think she's questioning. I don't think she's trying to argue with the angel. I think she's trying to work this all out. And what we see happening here is just kind of a pause, because in this day and age, like for a young girl to get pregnant, we can imagine that, the struggle for that time. But I don't know that we really can grasp the struggle for that, for Mary's time, because this usually would mean that she'd be at least kicked out of her house, if not killed, because her value is worthless. So what we see then is that our amazing God, who wants to change everything, is saying, guess what? If she's the least, if her value is only as much as her virginity, what she has to offer, actually, I'm going to lift her up. I'm going to take the least, and I'm going to make them the greatest. And so first, what we see is that God's kingdom is coming in this girl, that he's saying, you young girl, you are the one highly favored. And my goodness and my holiness is working itself out in you and in your body first. God's new kingdom is rising in the heart and the flesh of this young girl. And we see the word becoming flesh here first. We see that as her body is changing and growing, the baby is growing inside of her, God is also developing holiness inside of her as well. Just as much as he's concerned with her physical body, there's something going on with her spirit as well. And so it will start with her and then be birthed in Jesus for all people. And I see that God is saying, even in this moment, enough. It's enough. The lack of a power balance that we're taking people and saying these people are more important than this based on their gender, right? I want to shift this balance. I want not just make it good, but I want to renew it. I want to restore it. I want to make my kingdom good and right again. So this stirs something up in us today because we hear that Mary is troubled. So I want to talk about that. Similar to how I said at the very beginning that it's good to question. It's okay for us to be curious. And we even see it in the life of Mary, that Mary was curious about what was happening. And she had some questions for the angel. She says, how will this be? How will this be? And have you ever had a moment in your life that you've asked that to God? Maybe not an angel standing in front of you, but there's some situation that you're dealing with. And instead of God saying, oh, that's really tough, I'm just going to take that from you, God is saying, here's the situation. I'm still in it with you. And so then it leaves you to ask that question, how will this be? How are you going to do this thing, God? She's now pregnant, so she's realizing and thinking through that this has ruined her value and her life. So now what? What am I supposed to do next? So my questioning when I was reading through this week and thinking and praying on it was, I'm curious, when did Mary understand? Like, after she's figuring out all of that thing, what it just means for her personally, but when was it that she got to that place that she was able to understand that the God who made the baby was also the baby? Right? I mean, that's the other mind blow. Other than the fact that she's pregnant, that God is saying, you know, it's not just going to be a baby. It's actually going to be me. I'm going to be the baby that's in there. So when was it that that came to fruition in her mind? And the culture of that time had as many intellectual barriers as a God becoming flesh as we do today. Because
apparently, or how we think, oftentimes God is supposed to be someplace else being magical and magnificent, and then we're just down here trying to make it all figure out, and maybe we'll throw up a prayer to God every now and again. But what we're seeing is that a God is saying, I'm actually coming down here to be with you. I want to have relationship with you. I think that's the only way I can restore this world and your relationship with me. So what is this thing that's being born in Mary? In verse 35, we see that the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So this Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, some of the translations for this text say the Holy One, but the real literary translation of Holy One is just the Holy. The Holy. And what we see in that is that it's not just some holy person, but it's holiness itself that's being formed inside of Mary. Mary, this holiness is about to take on human nature and be born into the world. And so the ideal, the thing that we idealize, all of a sudden is becoming real for us. That the immortal is saying, I'll be mortal. And the unapproachable, the thing we can't touch, is actually close enough to be huggable to us. Holiness is coming in this humble form. Now, if the pregnancy alone wasn't a large enough burden for Mary, this idea is too, that something great and holy is being birthed into the world and carrying that. And so what we see next is that the angel is guiding her towards the other woman in this story that is going through something similar and saying, while you're going to walk through this hard thing, Mary, you do not have to walk through it alone. Actually, Elizabeth has been going through the same thing, and she has a wild story also. I'm not going to get into that story right now. You can either read it or we'll talk about it later. But Elizabeth's story with the angel is also quite magnificent and miraculous, and people are probably doubting her story too. And so what I love about this is that God is saying, you're not alone. He's actually providing for these two women to come in contact with each other and to support one another. Not to remove the hardness, but to say you can share in this together. And so what do we see from Mary when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth? Is Elizabeth actually speaks over all the things that the angel had already said. That you are highly favored, that you are blessed, and that this thing that's actually happening to you is a holy thing, and we can trust it. We can trust what God is doing in us. And so they're able to speak into each other's lives and give each other courage to do the thing that God has for them to do. Why is it, Elizabeth says, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would visit me? We see that something awakens in Mary. And we know that things begin to change for her because further along in the gospel story, Mary eventually sings this most beautiful song about this experience. But that is not what's happening in this moment. She is still in that moment where she has questions. So what we have to see in here is that Mary doubted, honestly. I think sometimes for us, our doubt, we can be a bit ashamed of our doubt. We want to hide it out. We don't want to ask questions. And something for us in this is that we see that Mary doubted honestly. We as people, as followers of Jesus, can think and doubt honestly. We are filled with God's holy too. And what we see in Mary is that the real humility is being able to ask the question and admit that maybe we don't know. We don't know the answer. Can we step out of these places where we're not quite sure, and can we wait? Can we wait and believe that God is doing something good in it? Can we admit that when we are in trouble and we don't understand? What we see in Mary's life is that God's redemptive work was recognition and redemption of those who were overlooked first. So this idea of highlighting and exalting women is saying that God doesn't overlook the marginalized. He's actually looking there first. That those who have the least amount of privilege, that God is exalting first and saying, I see you, and you have my holy. My holy is put in you as well. So what do we have to do to unravel power structures that are destroying humanity? We can look at a God 2,000 years ago that said, I'm going to do that through this girl. I'm going to form my holy in her. And not just so she blindly trusts, but she's going to ask questions. She's going to doubt honestly. She's going to walk it out through community, and she's going to birth my son into the world so that everybody has experience to sit just at a table like this. Everybody gets to sit at the table. Everybody gets to experience God together. So my invitation to you over the next few weeks as we talk here, and even over the next week as you ponder over these things, is where can we find God's hope? Where are the places where God is already speaking to us that perhaps we have a few questions about where we're at that table? How can we as people think and doubt honestly? How can we be people who find space to receive God's goodness and hope, even in the middle of a hard thing that maybe is not going to change? That God is there with us, that we serve a God who's face to face with us. Why don't you guys stand up with me? I really do believe this, that the worship team can come up. And even those of you who are serving on prayer ministry, if you guys want to come up too. I do believe that what God is after is, even in this story, as he looks at the least and the last and says, this is what I'm talking about, that I'm making them first, that my spirit is here and is present. And so I'd say, even as I was praying over our time together, that is one of the places that we can engage in. Are there any places in our heart that's hard to hear? That we might feel a bit of guilt or a bit of confusion, maybe a little anger at what that means. Perhaps there's something that we've overlooked. And I would say the courage and the invitation from God is that we can have conversations about this. That his table is wide, that he's not shutting down those things from us or those questions, that he engages that in us. And in the space of a loving community where we can have conversations with each other and grow. And so I'm going to pray, and these wonderful people up here would love to partner along with you. So there are a couple of ways you can respond. First of all, we'll just take some time to pray here together. Allow God's Spirit to come. If you want somebody to stand alongside you, perhaps there's something I spoke about or there's something else that's going on in your life and you would really love somebody in this community to partner with you, these people would love to pray with you today. There's also going to be worship happening afterwards. So even if you just want to hang out in this space and think and worship and pray, you guys are welcome to do that. And if not, if you are ready to go, God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday. Let's just pray together. So God, I thank you for your presence here with us. I thank you for what the stories in your word, what they have still to teach us today, and there's so much for us to learn and engage with. God, and we thank you for the power and the majesty of your son being born here on earth and what it means for all people. Would you engage our hearts? Would your presence be here with us? We say yes and amen to the way that you are renewing and restoring this world, that it belongs to you, and we do want to be a part of this journey with you. So I thank you for my friends, and I pray that you would continue to engage with them and fill them with hope. Fill them with hope, God. In your name, amen. Thank you.